The Last Word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
So on Tuesday, the government announced a budget with a range of supports for business in particular to deal with COVID-19 restrictions and if they are tightened in any way. On Wednesday, faced with a rising number of incidents around the country, it put three counties, Donegal, Cavan and Monaghan, up to level 4. And it added a twist to the level 3 that the whole country has been at since last week, in that it took a aspect of level 5 about not allowing other people into your house or garden and stuck it in with the level 3 restrictions. Now it seems that isn't good enough for Enfit, which for the second time in recent weeks has recommended to government that it goes to level 5 restrictions. And not only that, the leak, which was first in the Irish Daily Mail this morning and then subsequently was reported elsewhere throughout the day, is that the Enfit wants that level 5 restriction to be put in place for a period of 6 weeks. 6 weeks at level 5. And there's quite a lot in level 5 as well. It would have pretty significant impact on how you would be able to live your life. For example, you would only be able to exercise within a 5 kilometre radius. The pubs and restaurants would only be able to operate a takeaway service, so there wouldn't even be any of this sitting outdoors with up to 15 other people. Only essential retailers would be allowed to remain open. Only essential workers would be allowed to leave their homes for work. And you would have all outdoor and indoor events cancelled, although there would be the caveat that professional sport and the GAA Senior Championships could still go ahead. OK, Jim O'Callaghan, Fianna Fáil backbench TD, is the first of a number of guests we have with us. Jim, given this is the second time the government has had advice from Enfit in the last fortnight of going to level 5, is it now incumbent upon the government to say, OK, that's fair enough, you've told us twice, we better go ahead and do it?
No, I don't think so, Matt. But I think we have to say at the outset, and we have to recognise that there are no risk-free options for the government. And no matter what decision the government makes, there will be negative consequences. My own view is that we should not go to level 5, which is in effect a lockdown, because we need to learn to live with COVID. We published a document in September about living with COVID, and my own assessment is locking down the country until the 1st of December is not living with it. And the plan from NPHET is that we would then open up on the 1st of December, but like as sure as night follows day, we know what's going to happen. The numbers will start going up again then in December and January, and we'll be in the same place again probably in early February. So I don't think it's a viable option. And my big concern in all of this, Matt, is I don't think NPHET are giving consideration to the other factors that are going to be affected by this, to the repercussions, the negative repercussions, such as the impact it's having on children and young people. Like at some stage, we're going to have to wake up to the damage that we're inflicting on the lives of children and young people. And that's the job of government to do that. And also we have to take into account the mental health of everyone in the country who is suffering really badly as a result of the restrictions. And I also think we need to recognise that the restrictions that are in place at present are very severe. They may be called level 3, but when you look at them, they're as severe as the restrictions in that they're talking about introducing in the UK, in which there's a huge row about. So we have to live a balanced approach to this. And my own assessment is that the government should give the NPHET advice, very careful consideration, but it's the job of government to weigh up other factors.
But what about the numbers? Over 1,200 confirmed cases yesterday. Numbers starting to climb, going into hospital, getting into ICU. And if these numbers continue on their trajectory, will our hospitals be able to cope by the time December comes around?
Well, you're right. The numbers are very worrying. But let's compare the 15th of October, which is today, with the 15th of April, which was the worst month for this. And on the 15th of April, there were 144 people in ICU with COVID. Today in Ireland, there are 30 people in ICU with COVID. On the 15th of April, there was 881 in hospital with COVID. Today, it's 244. And in the first 15 days of April, there were 373 deaths from or with or of COVID. And in the first 15 days of October, there have been 34 deaths. Listen, the numbers are going in the wrong direction. But let us give level 3 the opportunity. It's been there for 10 days. We've introduced new restrictions now, precluding people from visiting each other's home. We need to try to ensure that this is given an opportunity to work. And it really is in all our hands, because whether we're at level 3 or level 5 or level 25, we need to abide by the same rules. And if we abide by them, we'll be able to try to lower the rate of increase of the numbers.
A lot of listeners texting into 0874100021 says, how does the economy afford another 6-week lockdown? What is NPHET's plan then when we reopen? Dr. Jack Lambert is with us as well, Professor of Medicine and Infectious Diseases at the Mater and UCD School of Medicine. Jack, what do you think of the suggestion from NPHET that we go to level 5? Do you think that is appropriate and should the government agree?
Well, I think it's shocking that we have these leaks. You know, I think, that we should be hearing this from our elected politicians, and NPHET should be advising, and it should come in that way. So first off, I just think that we're spending so much time reacting to these kind of communications. I think that's just not the way to go. We're supposed to be fighting the virus, not each other. So that's my first comment. But second off, I agree 100% with everything that's been said. We're not in March now, and we've done some things in the last week or two to control the virus, you know, and I think we should give these time to work. If you listen to the WHO, you know, Hans Klug, the European WHO guy, he says we need a measured response. We need to, you know, do certain things. We do have a measured response, and I do think I'm concerned more about what's happening up in Donegal, because they're close to Northern Ireland. We've got a measured response there. I think we're doing better down in Dublin, which we weren't doing in the March, and then I think we should actually use the ICU admissions as our trigger, not how many cases are circulating in the community around Ireland, because it's a different virus. It's affecting different people now than it was back in March. It's affecting different regions. It's affecting different populations. And sure, I'm concerned about a surge in the ICU, but we haven't seen that. And if there's a signal that the ICUs are approaching, you know, capacity or even half capacity, that's a red light. That's the time we go into level 5. But I think everybody's done a really good job. Not as good a job as we should. So I think we need to tighten up what we're currently doing, work hard together as a country, individual responsibility, you know, and give this a try and keep close tracks on it. The numbers are not the same as they were in March.
I'm very interested in you saying that, given that you're a professor of infectious diseases, that you're looking at the numbers with a different viewpoint, and also that you're looking at the severity of the infection perhaps being a little bit different. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, the thing is that, you know, like in March and April, it was healthcare workers getting infected, the elderly were getting infected, people were ending up in the hospital in the ICU. You know, the numbers are different now than before, you know, like I said. So I think we're seeing it's hitting a different population. It's hitting more rural. It's hitting younger people. There's lots of asymptomatic carriers of this. So you have to look at, are the senior elderly people dying of COVID? No, they're being protected. We learned our mistakes from our mistakes of the nursing homes. You know, I think we're better at managing people in the hospital. There's sort of suggestions that maybe the virus is you know, less virulent than it was before. It's still making people really sick, but it may be a little bit different on the second wave.
There's a listener here who says the only way to deal with COVID longer term is to allow most of the healthy population to be exposed to it. That's this herd immunity idea. You're a professor of infectious diseases. Right. Is that wise to let people to be deliberately exposed to it?
You know, I listened to this back in March, somebody suggesting that. I said that was ludicrous. I listened this morning to Tony Fauci and listening to his response to Donald Trump. He says it's ridiculous. Let's not go there. You know, let's not even think about that. You know, what we know is it's a very transmissible virus. It's a respiratory virus. Let's kind of up the ante in terms of leadership and wearing masks, doing all the right COVID prevention. Let's not talk about ridiculous things like herd immunity. No, it's a bad idea.
Okay, I want to bring in Senator Rebecca Moynihan of the Labour Party, because, Rebecca, I know you're concerned about mental health issues, about people being isolated, left alone. You want us to examine the idea of social bubbles. What do you mean by that?
Well, 400,000 people across the island live in single unit households, and back in March they isolated themselves and had very little social contact, and I think that had a knock-on effect in terms of isolation, loneliness. And we know from, you know, research that if you are loneliness has health implications, physical health implications, lowers your immune response, for example. So this idea of social bubbles, New Zealand, who I think most people lauded for handling the pandemic really, really well in the early stages in March, had it in from the very first stage of lockdown. And the idea is that you will be able to pick a social bubble, and it will be an exclusive social bubble. So it could be a situation where it is, you know, a family and an elderly parent, or it could be two single people who live alone, or it could be a single parent and her kids and a friend of hers, or it could be two people who are living in separate households that are going out together. It depends on what your social bubble will be. But it's for people to be able to, and particularly in single households, to be there, be able to support each other. If we are moving, and I think the numbers are rising very considerably, we don't have the access to the data that NPHET had today, but I think we've seen a big difference between, let's say, 2 weeks ago and this 2 weeks. So there's obviously concerns about the rising number of cases and the impact and knock-on effect that will have then in hospital admissions and ICUs and deaths. If it is the case, I think we need to allow people in single unit households to create a bubble. The rules are very much based on the idea of, you know, people living in a nuclear family in a settled household, and we have to realise that different people have different lives, different lifestyles, and have different ways that they make up their family and their household. And for some people that's their friends, for some people it is their neighbours. So I think it is the humane and compassionate thing to do. The UK have recently issued guidelines on it. And early indicators and research have shown that it is a way of decreasing loneliness, allowing people to have a social support, but also not contributing massively to the spread of the virus.
Okay, let me put that to Jack Lambert, because Jack, what do you make of that idea of social bubbles to combat people being left on their own?
Well, like I said, and we need to come up with solutions to live with COVID, take care of, minimize COVID morbidity and mortality, and we need to minimize non-COVID, you know, indirect. And this is, so we need to come up with solutions. Yes, it's a good idea as long as it can be done safely and people are prepared and people are educated and trained. There needs to be a lot of detail put into this. And at the present time, there's not enough detail put into many of the community preparedness. But this is a good idea if it's done correctly. Yes.
Joe Callaghan, you mentioned young people earlier. In the north, they're closing the schools for 2 weeks. Level 5 restrictions are meant to let the schools stay open, but there are doubts as to whether the teachers' unions would agree to the schools remaining open at a time when all other businesses almost would be shut down. So what do you think should be the situation in relation to the schools?
Well, I think schools should stay open, but I would share your concern that if we did move to level 5, that there would be pressure on teachers' unions to withdraw their staff from schools. I'd hope that wouldn't happen. We need to recognise, Matt, that, you know, the education of young people, the employment of young people, their pastimes, their entertainment, their relationships, they've all been severely affected by this. Now, unfortunately, you get the response to that is, but we're saving lives of other people. We shouldn't be pitching things against each other. That's where government comes in. We need a measured response that allows young people and children to live their lives in a COVID-friendly and safe way, whilst at the same time ensuring that the elderly people that Professor Lambert referred to are protected. But we can't go on ignoring the interests of young people and children. It's going to come back and haunt us. There'll be serious repercussions if we keep doing this.
I want to finish with you, Dr. Jack Lambert. What do you think the situation should be in relation to the schools? Because I think a lot of people are concerned about large groups, 30 children coming together, maybe meeting different secondary school, meeting a whole host of different teachers during the day, and then going back to their family homes. What do you think the situation should be in schools?
Right. I think we need to do a better job of supporting the schools. So I think when they go to the schools, they're fine. They're supervised. But what about when they are dropped off at the school, they're coming to schools often in public transportation, they're coming in family cars with multiple different family members from different families, not wearing masks. When they leave school, they're often congregating without masks. I think we need to kind of, that is a risk, okay? And I think if we actually worked on training people, educating people, schools included, to what additional COVID prevention methods they could use. It gives us an opportunity to keep the schools open. There's no guarantees, but we need to do better. I do agree with that, and we need more resources and effort and education to go into COVID prevention in non-school times for younger kids and for older kids.
Thank you all very much, Professor Jack Lambert, Jim O'Callaghan, Fianna Fáil TD, and Senator Rebecca Moynihan from the Labour Party.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.